I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
I'm just putting you on notice that we might actually be switching to his preaching once he starts preaching. Okay, so I'm going to give you the appetizer, right? And then when it's time for the main meal, I'll switch, all right? Every opportunity we get to hear from our Father, we must treasure it and value it, because his preaching is what has made someone like me a pastor, and I believe it will be a blessing to you also. Amen. All right. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, for the opportunity to hear the word. We pray, Lord, that you open our eyes to the truth of your word. Teach us wisdom, give us understanding, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So our topic is how to improve your wisdom. How to improve your wisdom. And we started that last week, and we talked about, we read from James chapter 1 and verse 5. This is part of a series of messages we've been sharing on the determinants. And we've been reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 11, which says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Now, from this passage, we learn that the basic determinants, ordinarily speaking, most lives will be determined by these key determinants. Most people's lives and the outcome of it will be determined by their speed, their strength, their wisdom, their understanding, and their skill, unless time and chance intervene and set them on a different course, right? So if that is the case, then it's important for us to develop these determinants and understand it. So that's what we've been sharing, right? And now we are on wisdom, and in particular, we are sharing from the part, chapter 9, how to improve your wisdom. So then comes in James 1, 5, which shows us clearly that your wisdom can be improved, that there is no reason why you should be stuck where you are in terms of wisdom. That the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. God gives wisdom to all men liberally. And upbraideth not. That means he will not rebuke you. God is not going to yell at you for coming to ask him for wisdom, right? So it says, it shall be given him. God giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if God will give you wisdom, he says, if you recognize your shortfall of wisdom and you go to God in prayer, asking him for wisdom, God will hear your prayer. This is one prayer that God has promised to answer, you know. So why don't we pray it often? I think we should be praying this more often than we have been praying for wisdom, because the Bible says God is just waiting for us to ask. And he gives it liberally. If it was anything else, I'm sure would have been going to God to ask him for it. If God said, if anyone lacks money, let him just come to me and I'll give him plenty of it. I'm sure we would all be queuing before the throne of grace, asking for money every day, right? But God is giving us something that is higher than money, something that will bring money if you were to have it. Hallelujah. So we need to pray to God and ask for wisdom more often than we do. Okay. Now, how do we improve? What are the practical steps you take to improve your wisdom or your knowledge, right? Last week, I was sharing with you that knowledge is the reservoir. It's when wisdom is in the tank. When wisdom is in storage, it is called knowledge. When we start dispensing it and we start dishing it out and applying it, it's called wisdom. So how to improve your wisdom is how to improve your knowledge, which will then improve your capacity for exercising wisdom. Okay, so number one is noticing and recognizing things. That is the first step to gaining wisdom. We must notice and recognize things. Hallelujah. And today we're going on to number two. Number two is considering thinking, meditating, right? Considering thinking, meditating is a step to wisdom. In other words, our wisdom will improve if we become people who consider things, people who think through things, and people who meditate on things, right? Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30, right? The scripture says, I went by the field of the slothful man. I went by the field of the slothful man. And by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Hallelujah. People who do not think deeply cannot become wise. To think, to calculate, and to meditate is an important activity that is lacking in people who are not wise. People who are not wise run from activity to activity without thinking deeply, right? Now, this passage is very interesting because it is teaching us something that we will gain a lot of instruction from the things we happen to see in life. In other words, so much instruction is hidden in everyday things that we observe and everyday encounters we have, sometimes with people's experiences, people's stories, and the things that happen around us, that they are all speaking. There is a message in everything around us. But revelation doesn't come to you just because you see something, right? Revelation comes to those, you know, who consider and look carefully and think through and meditate on the things that they are seeing, right? Many times we see things and those things contain a message for us. They contain some instruction for us. God is trying to give us a message by exposing us to what he has exposed us to. But because we are very busy and quickly in a hurry to just move on and pass on to the next thing, we often don't get the lesson and we don't get the message that God has for us. Hallelujah. So this passage we're reading is showing us clearly that if we will pay attention to the things we see, if we will sit down and consider some of the things that have happened to us, perhaps if we'll even look at our lives and look at where we are and where things are, you know, and start to look at it carefully, consider it carefully, meditate on it carefully, we will receive instruction. The lessons of our experience will be filtered out for us, and we will receive what God wants us to hear or to know from what he has exposed us to. If you look at the scripture again, he said, I went by the field of the slothful. I just happened to, you know, be walking by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall, which is the security of it, you know, was broken down, right? Now, somebody would just walk past the same field and just be in a hurry to get out of the area because he thinks he's in a bad neighborhood. Do you see? And he would be in a hurry to just walk past it all and just move on to the next thing because they are busy. But this man said, when he saw, he considered it well. You see, because you're looking at a field. First of all, not everybody has a field. Not everybody gets to have a field, you know. So to get to have a field puts you ahead of others. You are actually at an advantage. Do you understand? It means you are a property owner. That's the whole point. Do you see? So he went by the property of someone. I mean, probably he, I don't know if he had property at that point, but this is Solomon, so he was a rich guy. Do you see? And he understood what it meant. Do you see? He understood what property or owning property meant. Okay. And so he saw it. And he considered it well. Here's somebody who has maybe what I'm looking for. Here's somebody who has what I'm working so hard to get. Here's someone who is blessed by what I think would make such a difference in my life, you know. And it doesn't seem to have made such a difference to his life. It doesn't seem to have improved his life. Rather, he said it was grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Do you see? So something unusual was going on. And the Bible says, then I saw and I considered it well and received instruction. I saw it and I considered it well and I received instruction that yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth and thy want as an armed man. So right there, he received a lesson on the causes of poverty just by what he saw. Do you see? So if God wants to instruct you in the causes of poverty so you don't become poor, God will probably show you something. God will show you a poor man. God will show you someone who hasn't done so well. God will show you someone who has blown their chances, someone who is exactly where you aspire to be and who has not benefited from it, even just to show you that it takes more than just being in a place or having something to enjoy the benefits that that thing holds for your life. But you see, these are not things you just see. These are things you meditate on. And when you meditate on something means to host the thing on your mind and to host it long enough for the lessons of that thing to be filtered out and to start coming into your life and to start offering themselves to you. Hallelujah. So let's form a habit of considering things. You need to give time to thinking through things. And sometimes the way to think through something is to talk about it with someone, you see. And as you discuss it with someone, you open up the matter. And as you open up the matter, you have the opportunity for the issues, the points, the advantages, the disadvantages, the causes, the effects, all those things begin to float and they start to come up for consideration and for discussion. And then that is how your life is affected and blessed by the things that we see. Hallelujah. So considering, thinking, meditating, these are three steps that will improve your wisdom. Considering, thinking, meditating, three steps that will improve your wisdom. Then quickly, the next point is acknowledging and honoring. That is another step towards improving your wisdom. Acknowledge and honor. That, in other words, when you see great things, acknowledge it. Learn to recognize it. Learn to acknowledge great things, great achievements, great people. Hallelujah. We must not be indifferent to greatness. We must not be indifferent to success. If we see people who have accomplished great things and people who are doing great things, it's important for us to notice what is great. It's important for us not to be indifferent to what is great. It's important for us to observe when something great is happening around us, or when an individual or a group of people are doing something that is remarkable. That is another way to improve your wisdom or improve your knowledge. We must learn to recognize it. Hallelujah, right?
And
said that Albert Einstein, the great physicist, he released some scientific papers of his theories in 1905. Can you imagine that? 1905. Then amazingly, at the time when people did not fully understand the implications of his discoveries and calculations, he was hailed, acknowledged, and recognized. Back then, you know, back then, more than 100 years ago, he was recognized as a great person back then. And he became a worldwide celebrity by the age of 40. He was honored for his achievements. He was living in an enlightened society that could recognize a great achievement. He toured the world, giving lectures on his calculations and theories of relativity. I do not think that if he had discovered these theories in certain places, he would have been thanked or even recognized. Do you understand? And that's the reality, that you find sometimes people migrating and moving to places and countries where their accomplishments and their achievements are celebrated. This is the reason why the world holds big ceremonies for awards. This is the reason why even people come to LA right here. A lot of people move from different parts of the country. I mean, they may be living in South Carolina somewhere or in Raleigh somewhere. I mean, if you're a great actor in Raleigh or any of these places, I mean, you may not easily be known, do you see? So as people are living in some of these places and they find themselves with talents and ability, they start to migrate to a place where those gifts are given center stage recognition, where those gifts are given attention and recognition, where people recognize that, yeah, you can act, you can sing, it is something, this is something, let's do something with it. And then they start making their way towards the West, and they come to LA to follow their dreams. Hallelujah. It's important for us, if we're going to be great ourselves, to recognize greatness when it's near us. Hallelujah. In our church, we are blessed. I mean, we're blessed to have a great pastor who has done so many things, has achieved so many wonderful things. And it's one of the reasons why we celebrate it. We celebrate him for that. When we have the opportunity to recognize the good things God has given us through our pastor, we celebrate it shamelessly, because it's an important thing. If you're going to become great, you must recognize greatness. If you're going to benefit from greatness, You must recognize it when it comes your way. What I mean is that you must know what a taxi looks like to be able to benefit from one. Do you see what I'm saying? If you don't know what a taxi looks like, you will not be able to hail a taxi, even if it's driving right by you. Do you see? So to benefit from something, the first thing you need to do is to be able to recognize that thing when it is near you. When it is near you, you say, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. This is a good marriage. This is a good way to raise children. I like what I'm seeing here. I like what I'm doing here. This is a good career path. Whatever it is, greatness must register with you. Great achievements must register with you. You must recognize those things when they come near you. And when you do that, your wisdom will improve greatly. Hallelujah. Well, this is all that time.
Amen.
This is all that time will allow us to share today.
Oh.
Sure to be in the service next week.
And we'll
Amen. Hallelujah. So let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Amen. I told you it's going to be a short preaching, a short appetizer session today. And I believe that Prophet will be preaching any moment from now, and we'll get the chance to continue hearing more from the word with him. Amen. Right. But bow your heads, everybody, and let's practice James chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Perhaps you need wisdom on what to do with your life, what to do with your children, what to do in your marriage, what you do in your career, what to do with your health. You need some wisdom. The Bible says, ask, because God gives to all men liberally. God will give you wisdom if you ask him for it. Okay? So bow your heads, everybody, and ask God for wisdom. Pray and say, Lord, I recognize my need for wisdom in this particular area of my life. Pray, everybody, and ask God for wisdom. Say, Lord, please give me wisdom. Give me wisdom for this area, in this matter, concerning this issue. Please. And Lord, while you're doing that, please open my eyes to recognize greatness. Help me to honor great people when I have the opportunity. Help me to recognize greatness. Not criticize greatness, not find faults. There are some people who just want to put every great thing down. Anything great that someone is doing around them, they just want to push it down because it makes them feel insecure. But that will not make you great. That's not the pathway to greatness. You must allow great achievements and great feats to flourish around you by celebrating them, by recognizing them, by honoring them, by rewarding them, even with your little children. When your little children accomplish great things, recognize it. Clap for them. Clap for your little child who's trying to walk. It's a great thing to be able to move on 2 feet when you have been crawling on fours all your life. When your child takes a step forward, she must be recognized, or he must be recognized and celebrated for the effort and the little thing they have achieved. And as we do that, we create an environment where greatness is possible and where we begin to become achievers. And God will also speak to us through the things that we see and the things that we encounter. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Let's pray. Everybody pray and say, Lord, I thank you for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for your wisdom in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for today and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen. Now,
amen.
I want to give you an opportunity, if you happen to be watching us, but you know in your heart that you're not saved. You know that you have not given your life to Christ. That means your sins are not forgiven. And that's a problem, because the Bible says sins separate us from God. Even we separate ourselves from dirty people. How much more a holy God? God is holy, and our sins will separate us from Him. Unless we take the provision that He has made for our sin, which is to apply the blood of Jesus Christ to our lives, to ask Jesus to come into our hearts and to wash us by His blood, by faith, and receiving His forgiveness of our sins by faith. It is only then that we can relate with God. So right now, I want to give you an invitation to ask Jesus to come into your life by inviting you to say this prayer with me. Everybody just join me as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Say it again, everybody. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That you died for my sins. So please come into my heart. Let your blood wash me.
Let
your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Help me, Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
For you.
To live for you.
To live for you.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. We're going to have our communion right now with the prophet. So let's go over and join the prophet as he leads us in the communion this morning. Amen.
This is my body, which is broken for you.
Everybody stand up. We are doing communion now.
This is my love, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion.
All right. Now, no movement, please. Take your bread, if you have it. Father, thank you for the blessing that your people are having by this amazing bread, the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come before your holy, great body, and as we receive of this body, may we receive life, may we receive healing, may we receive power. Thank you. That every time we take communion, the body of Christ and the cross is manifested. Thank you for power and healing in our lives today. The body of Jesus Christ. Blood. May your sins be forgiven because of the blood. Whatever mistake you have made by iniquity, by sin, by error, may this blood answer all questions about your presence, your participation, your continued involvement in the house of God. Because of the blood, there is a reason for you to be around. May the blood of Jesus wash every mistake away forever. The blood of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands. for your blessing. At home, all of you, it's winter, it's cold. You should be using wine for the Holy Communion. It makes you warm. And power is coming into your life. May all your struggles come to a conclusion. As the year concludes, your troubles conclude. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say, as the year concludes, your troubles conclude. As the year ends, your crisis ends. As the year ends, the dark cloud is banished from your life and the sun begins to shine. There's no one here who will cross into the new year with the current crisis and the current troubles of your life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may this gift and blessing accompany you. The Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face shine on you and the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Receive peace. Receive answers. Receive tranquility. Receive solutions. Receive help from God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. The year concludes with all crises and troubles ending with the year. In Jesus' name, I declare it to be so. And every believing saint shout, amen. Shout amen at home. 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 Shout amen at home.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can I hear your amen, please? Shout amen.
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 God bless you. Prophet has just started teaching, so the remainder of our service, we're going straight to him, and we're going to join him for the main meal. I told you I was serving the appetizer, and now the main dish was going to follow. So here you are with the dish, and we're going to switch over now.
And number five, learn to be confident. What is that? To be confidential and someone that can be trusted. Yeah. Many places you will never go, one day here you are a radio station. Hey. Hey, bye. Hey. He is coming. She is coming. The one who talks. Yes. You never have such a reputation. You know why? Mature things cannot be discussed with you when you are a blabber mouth. Mature things. You never be told higher things. That's why Jesus spoke to the wicked people in parables. You see, when you don't understand this, because you are wicked. Yes. Kinder people are drawn nearer with explanations. Wicked people are told things that they cannot understand. Number six. How many are sensing an advancement? Each step is taking you. That's the next step forward. Don't let your beauty destroy you. Don't what? Let your beauty destroy you. All right? Who is switching? Come on. I want the points. Who is alert? Follow me closely, please. Do not let your beauty destroy you. And number seven, do not, I don't know, rightly that do not let your wisdom, says your wisdom was corrupted. You may be wise, but you've got a slant. You see, there's a slant. You get what I'm saying? A slant along a certain line. What do I mean by a slant? You see, when judges are appointed, especially Supreme Court judges, they know that if the judge is from this party or from this area or from whatever, when he thinks and he reasons with a lot of reasoning and he looks at all the laws, he will always go right. Do you understand? And then this one, when he thinks and he reasons and he brings reasons and reasons and reasons, he will always go left. Yes. Because there's a slant in you. There's a slant in everybody. Many times I've had cases where I'll ask opinions. What do you think? What do you think? And you know, this one will think this, and this one will think this about the same thing. There are some people, how many you know what they will think? If you tell them something.
Yeah, you know.
Yes. So that means that we are already slanted.
Amen. Amen.
It's true.
Only a God like our God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wickedness in a person. We never let the person see why somebody must get out of jail free. And some will always see why he must never go to jail. So that's why when there's a case, they say, who is the judge? So yes, they're all wise. They're all wise. That they are slanted. Are you there?
Yes.
Some judges don't like men because of what their husbands have done to them. When they see a man, they say, you remind me of something. You are finished as you have come to my court. Oh. As for prison, there you will go. The lawyer can talk. That's why they have juries. So that it doesn't depend on one man.
Okay.
Now, that is what happens to wisdom. Wisdom can be spoiled and corrupted. And even though you are wise, it's this way.
Thank you.
Yes. That's why when you have a lot of girls, a lot of women with no man, their thinking is in a certain way. Yes. Because they have common interests. And all the mistreatment they have had from men or from boys over the years makes them naturally understand certain things in a certain way. Yes. So where there are many in one place for a long time in a school, you see that they are all going a certain way.
For a long time.
Yeah.
In a school place. In one place. And we have a slant.
It's a slant.
You can't expect it. So a balance comes in when you hear there's another side. So Satan's wisdom was corrupt. You have corrupted thy wisdom. Bring that scripture. You have corrupted your wisdom. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of thy brightness. You have twisted your wisdom. It's wise, but it's twisted. Slightly, of course. A lot of good reasons. Slightly, of course. Without uncorrupted wisdom, there is no reason why a woman should ever kowtow or kowtow. I prefer kowtow. It sounds more powerful. There's no reason why a woman should kowtow to a man. I don't see why. And the Bible says, submit to your husband. It doesn't, a lot of things will not work. But if it's corrupted by something, you see that you never agree to it. And your house will be more than a parliament. With 135 seats and 135 seats. Yes. And the only independent candidate may be your pastor. And if your pastor is also corrupted in his wisdom, then that's it. You are finished. No majority. Or if he's a type who will not say what is right, will not say things as he should say them, there will be, he will just also say, I abstain. He says, 135, 135, and I've abstained. So that is it. Confusion. Because some people are afraid to stand up and say, I'm on your side. I think this is right. Because they want to be Mr. Good. Mr. Pleasing. Watch out for those who never say left or right. How can it be? Are you listening? So the next step forward in your life involves making sure that the wisdom that you have in you is not corrupt. If you are an unforgiving person, you see that you hear the word of God, you always have the right reason not to forgive. Because you see, be careful, wisdom of this, and that, whatever. And you see that you have the wisdom of God, but it's corrupted. Yes. There are certain people I don't bother to even find out what they think. Because I know what they will think. On many occasions, I've tried to find out what they think. And each time, it's going one way. Yes. One time, there was a court case in a certain court, in a certain place. And I asked experienced lawyers what was going to happen in this case. And I was not experienced. All the experienced lawyers told me, this is what will happen. I said, oh, but the evidence is, oh. They laughed. All of them laughed. They laughed at me. And what they said was true. When the verdict came, it all went right or left, whichever, how you see it. There was no variation. Your background can twist your wisdom. You see, even in voting, when you ask somebody, where do you come from? Hey. You immediately know how his mind is thinking.
It's slanted.
It's gone this way or this way. By just, so it means that the background of the person is already working. So even though you are wise, you are going always this way. Have you ever been in a car? Those of you who drive, say, when you leave the steering wheel, the car goes left. Yes, that's how a lot of wisdom is. When you leave it, it's just going this way. Yeah. So, my prayer for you is that in the next step forward, you will do things that are humble and opposite to what Lucifer did. Because all that Lucifer did brought him down. He's the first example and the greatest example of a fall from the highest of heights. Glory in the presence of God. You see how great God is. You walk up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You are close. That's why Rick Joyner said, you know, When he had the vision of the final quest, he said, you can fall from any height.
That's right.
There is no way you cannot fall from, because if Lucifer, who was in the presence of the brightness of God, could fall, how much we who are so much in darkness and in difficulty, what is our hope? So I am pushing you towards humbling yourself with humble steps. Yes, humble steps. Yes, humble steps. Accept that this wisdom I have, I'm always slanted this way. Yes. You know, if you are a young man and you are not married, all right, and you see a beautiful girl, do you see a very juicy girl who has features that maybe you are not aware of have an effect on you, but it has an effect on you? Are you with me? Yes. Are you with me? I hope what I'm sharing is practical. You can relate to it.
Very practical.
Yes. I'm saying that if you are a young man and you are not married and you meet a lady who has certain features which attractive to you, but you're not aware that it's attractive to you, all right, but you are drawn, and then also because you are not married, you are hungry. You understand
that one.
So somebody may come to you and say, this person is quarrelsome. Somebody may come to you and tell you, this is danger for 1, 2, 3 reasons. Decide. Usually based on your hunger, based on the beauty that you see, your mind is already going left. If you leave the car, it will go left. You're an average brother. Your mind, your wisdom is already. So that's why sometimes some of these things is good to even ask somebody, please tell me what to do. Telling you what to do is different from giving you principles. You see, you walk on the ground. You can walk, you can run, you can fly. Now you walk using common sense. You want to walk, all that you need is common sense. Teaching. Step forward, next step forward, next step forward. If you want to go faster in life, let's say you want to run, we use principles. We give you principles. The principles of, you know, let's say you don't find those doing running 100 meters wearing what I'm wearing, because the principles, these clothes will prevent you from running fast. They wear small shorts. You wonder if they are wearing bikinis. Even the brothers are wearing bikinis.
Okay.
Because they are using certain principles to run fast. Faster aerodynamics. Then they have certain types of shoes that make them spring with spikes, and they have a way of running. One time I was in Jamaica and I saw this man who runs very fast. Not him, his assistant. I mean the next one. Yeah, he was training, and somebody was in front of him and he was pulling. I don't know. He was pulling him, or yeah, the man was pulling him, and he was running like. It's like you're running against a force. You are training. It's like, these are principles. So you use principles to run. But if you want to fly, if you want to fly, do you want to fly? How many want to fly? To fly, you need instructions. Yes, instructions. Do this. Do this. That's why in every flying school, the teacher is called an instructor. And in every flying school, you have instructions. Press this button. Look, when you are landing, you press here and press here and press here. That's all. You see, you don't have to apply principles. Let me see whether if I do this to the left and to the right to see whether the speed, whether it's faster. Hey, you want to be in a plane where somebody's trying things out? And many, many do not love instructions and do not believe in instructions. I have a mind. Why cannot not use my mind? That there are many times you have to hear instructions.
Thank you.
And do them.
Thank you.
And that's what people don't want. And that's why people don't go high and far. And that's why when they hear instructions, they pretend as though they've not heard an instruction. And the instruction becomes an argument, and therefore, because it has to be something you understand, a principle that you understand. So that's why you see in Proverbs it says, my son, hear instructions. Mm-hmm. Instructions. You hear the word instructions. It's to take you to the next level. Proverbs 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction, not principles. Not principle, not common sense. Instructions. Here. Stand here. Stand here till tomorrow evening. You fly. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Are you listening?
Yes.
So, yes, all our wisdom is slanted. And that's why sometimes an instruction will come. Because your slanted wisdom is already going left. And you will hear an instruction that says, this way, this way. And that instruction is what will take you flying higher. You see, if you look at what you feel like doing in this world, is to rise up and make money, rise up and become rich, rise up and do all that. And Jesus comes and says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things the Gentiles seek, but you seek first my kingdom and his righteousness. Wow. Yes, wow. Yes, wow. Yes, wow. Yes, wow is the answer to what you are thinking. Wow. It's what he's trying to say. Wow. Yeah, and he's not changing his instruction. He's not changing it, not for you or for anybody. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So, thank God for the next step forward. You know, I was just going over what I was sharing with you this morning. And I think that every anti-satanic thing, I think that is why when Jesus met the devil in the wilderness, anything the devil told said, no. Well, the devil actually suggested some good ideas. The devil's suggestions were actually, some of them were quite good. I mean, turn these stones into bread. I mean, what? Because it was time for dinner. It was, he has been fasting and he was breaking his fast. I mean, and he said, turn the stone into bread. I mean, why not? Then also go up to the top there and see all the nations. I mean, have an overview of your mission. Have an overview. I mean, during the election, this Joy FM and City and other these stations, they were all presenting an overview of the elections. I mean, it always pays to have an overview. And Jesus was just being asked to have an overview. Why not? Then he asked him to fly. You know, like, try flying. Use power. You're about to start your supernatural ministry. People will even see. A man who can fly. Wow, this is really power. Power for power. But I think that Jesus knew that if the devil, if you are the one saying this, no matter what it is, once it's coming from you, I will never do this thing. Yes. Yes. Once it's coming, just because it's from you, I don't obey the voice of the devil. And there are times that I've heard the voice of the devil. And I know that this is what the devil wants me to do. And because it is the devil who wants me to do that particular thing, I don't want to do it. Yes. And in your life, you are going to come across situations like that. You see that, this is the devil's aim. This is the devil's aim. He has targeted you, and this is what he actually wants. So, not even for a feeling, but because that is your aim, that particular thing, I will not do it. Yes, I will not do it. You see, one of the things about the devil is that he wants you to become Judas. Yes. Like we are all together, then you come out and become some way. It's a satanic ploy. It's a master plan for a long-term destruction for everybody sitting here. So that's why there are certain things. This particular thing, I will not do it. I can do other things, suggest other things. But this one, I will not do it. God will find me here to the end. I told the brother, I said, look, let me tell you something. You think I'll turn against you. I will never turn against you. Yes, because I know what the enemy. I will never be against you. Yeah. Because I know that that's what the devil wants. No, don't worry. For that particular, maybe something else, but not that. When the devil brings certain suggestions, you have to know this particular one. Try another suggestion, but this one, no. Yes. So you don't find the devil tempting Jesus directly after that. He used priests. After that, he used pastors. Yes. The pastors were the ones who were speaking. It's like to disguise it a bit. Because he came plainly at the beginning and said, no. You dear. Your suggestion will never be followed. Hallelujah. Are you listening? Is it fantastic? Turn with me to Ezekiel 28. Beautiful. Ezekiel 28. Verse 11. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Cyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum. In other words, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, you know, pride comes to beautiful people and people who are good at things. You see, one of the points this morning I wanted to make was about pride. But I didn't want to make the point because it would take a little bit of explanation, and I'm just saying that, like I said, this is a short Bible study. Satan's fall should be a revelation to him that he was proud. You see, any kind of fall or lowering is a revelation of pride. Because there will be no lowering until there is pride. Do you understand? Yes. There will be no falling unless there's pride. And pride comes to when things are beautiful and good. Thou sealest up the sum. The sum. You are perfect. You are good. Now, you see, people like this will say, me? What are you talking about? Yes. You know what I want to say to you? Because pride is so invisible, and as I'm preaching, I can point out, if I sit with you personally to talk to you about pride, almost everybody will say no. Because I'm experienced talking to people. I'll sit with you and explain, and you'll never see. The great revelation of pride is your lowering. Anything that has lowered you or lowers you reveals your pride. Yes. It reveals that you are proud. Because pride comes before a fall. If you read the next verse, 28:13, look at what it says. You are in Eden. It's another reason for pride, the places you've been. Yes. You know, a brother who has only been in Sunyani or Brekum before, do you see, has never actually even been to Accra to get to Kotoka Airport before you see the way out. You see that his attitude is different from somebody who has been to London 4 times.
Exactly.
Thou hast been in Eden. Thou hast been in Eden. Everybody who comes close to me, I watch them. Some are affected by coming close. Some become familiar. Oh yes, some of the people who come close to me become familiar. Some is, thou hast been in Eden. You got used to it. Yes. You know, I remember, I think I told you this morning, there was a man of God. A pastor spoke to a man of God, and he told, because the man of God was a great man of God, and he told the man of God that I've seen in your life two people who don't appreciate that they are nothing without you. Number one is your wife, and number two is your assistant. They don't realize. Yeah, he told the man of God to his face. He said, they don't know. They are filled with familiarity. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden. You've been at, which of us has been to Eden? Bring your ticket and show me. Where did you go to Eden? When did you go to Eden? The places you've been greatly affect you. That's why a part of my educating people, even to be a bishop, you must be in certain places.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, every bishop must be an international traveler.
Okay.
It's part of their training.
Wow.
If you don't travel, if you have not traveled, because you need education. Yes. There are many times I've been in Korea, said, I'm with 50 people. I'll sponsor 50 different people to come. Let's go. It's part of their education. But it's also part of the pride building. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius. Now, jewelry and things is now used. Use it as clothes. Diamonds. The beryl. Jasper. Carbuncle. Gold. Wow. Money and whatever. As soon as you have a little bit of that. Rarely do you find, there are few rich people here. Few, if any. What do you have? No, let's be honest. What do you have? You are sitting here listening to me. What do you have? Yes. You don't have anything. When people are covered with stones, covered with gold, covered with whatever, you just sit down and listen humbly. People who think they are whatever, they have this, they have that, they have that. They feel they have a green card, they have a passport, they have a this and the other. That has been in Eden. You change. You change. You change. Your talking changes. Your attitude changes. One time I was in Colombia in a hotel. When I came down to the lobby, I wanted to go and sit down in the lobby where you can sit before you go out. But there were a whole group of people sitting there. Americans. And it seemed that they were having a business meeting. They had flown from America for, I thought it was business. So I decided to go nearer, like I passed by, to sort of scan. Do you understand? You know, you see, you scan by walking. So when I went by, I thought that I would see like forms, documents. No, it was album, each page. You know, do you remember these albums that you have with the cellophane or see-through? Yes, that was how the album, and it was fat. Several. And they were discussing, and each page was a beautiful girl. Sitting there, smiling, different poses. Yes. So my interpreter said, they have come to choose wives. They are looking for wives from Colombia because, and I said, why? Why have they flown from America? I said, no. They don't want to marry Americans. I said, the Colombians are more humble. Thou has been in Eden. They have not been in America before. To hear American talking. Yes. And American attitudes. Yes. So they are here for Colombia. They are here for Colombian wives. So they are humble. They were seen. It was, they are flown American Airlines. They came. They were there. They were going through for wives. Yes. Thou has been in Eden. You see, where you have been to before, it affects you. And you see that certain people from certain countries say, where can I go to? So why could I go to Ghana? Why would I, what am I doing in Ghana? Is there jungle there? Is it safe? Is that this? Is that this? Is that that? The natives. Yes. Yes. You come and see. We have an animal here that cries in the night. It cries in the night. It cries. It cries. You know, you see that, yes, you are in the jungle. Where you've been, it affects you, eh?
That's right.
Thou hast been in Eden. So I'm just saying that all of us, these things, when you see, you realize that you are a candidate for pride. Oh. So you just have to cool down. Say, the way it is, I'm an average person. So an average person is affected by all these things. Right. You are not above average. You are normal.
Normal.
You are normal. It affects you. It affects you. I mean, when I first started to go abroad preaching over there, I was sometimes surprised by the attitude. I said, hey, is the person Ghanaian is talking as he doesn't believe in God, this and that, church, whatever? I said, wow. Small Abolochi that you have born. Small.
Abolochi.
Thou hast been in Eden. Pride. It brings about a fall. So, decide to be somebody who, although you have been everywhere, and although God has granted you the grace to be anywhere, you are low on the ground. You can be anywhere. You can stay anywhere. You can be at any place. You can do anything. Once it's for God.
Yes. And you see yourself moving forward. That's what I learned from Reinhard Bonnke. There was no town. So at the point I said, so when he goes there, what does he eat? How does he eat? I said, when he goes there, where does he stay? How can he stay there? Because and it's not a, it's a German. Do you know Germany? You know Germany? Where they make BMWs, where they make Benz, where they make Porsche, where they make VW, where they make Passat, where they make Audi, where they make all those things. That's where it's from. German speaking. He preaches in German, pure German. There's no part of Nigeria or any African country that was too far. I learned it from him. Oh yes. Thou has been in Eden, it did not affect him. Because many angels were in Eden and they were not destroyed by being in Eden. And I pray you not be destroyed by being in America, being in England, or being in anywhere. And any access that God gives you, you will not be destroyed by it.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Some of you, small privilege, small access you are giving. Well, come around, come around, come around, come around. One day I was going to eat. I was in a foreign country. And I made the mistake of letting a particular lady from that country sit at the table. When either before, during, or after, she made a comment, I say that something. I said, hey, just for a few minutes I've allowed you to sit here. You are analyzing what I eat and how I eat.
Oh.
Thou hast been in Eden. You are sitting at my table. Eating and you are talking like this. I shouldn't have allowed you. Yes. That's why you not easily get a chance to be around. So, the next step forward is to determine it will not change me.
Amen.
I remember one day, as a medical doctor, I was not a medical doctor. I mean, I had finished housemanship. I don't know how old my sons were. I put them in my car and I said, this morning at dawn, I'm taking you to Kolebu. So I carried them, my children, in a car, and I drove to Kolebu with my guitar. I'm not talking about when I was a student. I'm talking about when I was already, I was a pastor, long time, finished long ago. And I said, when I was a student, I could stand here and preach at dawn. And now, I can stand here again and preach. I still can. The fact that I've been in Eden. Do you know the places I've been in? I've been in many places. Oh, yes. Yes. Many countries. I don't know how the airport itself is because I go through the VIP of almost every country. Yes. I don't know how the actual airport is. Unless they don't have a VIP. That's Eden. Small privilege. Small Eden. When you go and see that you've changed. Ooh. One day I saw somebody misbehaving. Small Ablochi. The person was in England or the person was somewhere. I told the person, I said, listen, this, do you know how old I was when I was here? You just came. I was here years ago as a baby, as a child. Small one. Thou hast been in Eden. Your experiences will not spoil you in Jesus' name. Your experiences will not spoil you in Jesus' name. Have you seen that building in Australia, the one with the different white thing? They show it on CNN. I've been there. I stood there to take picture. What again? I've been to Eden. I've been to Eden. Have you been there? You haven't been there. And then the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee. Can you change the version, please? Change the version. The version. The what? Your settings. Your settings. Your breast starts from the second intercostal space to the fifth, extending from the midline to the mid-clavicular line. This way, or mid axillary line down here, settings and mountings. Put the verse there so that we see what the verse is saying. Your settings and your mountings. Where your cheekbone is mounted, your eyes, your nose, the settings of your nose, your settings, they are all from God. Your settings. So what's the big deal? As you are walking about, it's God who made you the way you are. Thank God. Always give him glory. But don't let it get to your head. Yeah, so a lot of boys like me. It's because you are cheap. It's not because you are nice. You are cheap. You are easy. Look, the reason why people eat roasted plantain and groundnut a lot, it's not because it is nice, but it is cheap. You are cheap. That is why. It's not that you are nice. Marata kapaso barababa.
Come on, please. I'm a
brother, you think a lot of girls like, so me, the girls fall for me easy. Girls fall for me. I don't know why. It's because you are a dragon. You are a dragon in the spirit. You are a dragon. I'm telling you. You are a dragon. It's true. Oh, when I just stand and I smile and they'll be coming. It's because you are dragon in the spirit. You are drinking the blood. It says, of these are such which lead silly women laden with sins. You are of an evil grouping in the Bible, creeping into houses and leading captive silly women. It's an evil group you are in. It's an evil group you are in. It's an evil group you are in. That's why you have a long list of girls. It's because you are in an evil group of this sort, are they, which creep into houses. You creep in. No one knows, notices you are coming in. You are wrapping your way, leading silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. And you are proud of yourself. You are proud that you are demonic. And you are a destroyer of lives. You are the thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. You see, an innocent person, by meeting you, the person is twisted into a monster because of you. And you are proud of yourself. You say, oh, I don't know why. You don't know why? It's because of the spirit that is in you. It's an evil spirit, a thief, the spirit of a thief. You see the person without pimples, without any mark on the face. After meeting you, the person has changed. The personality has changed. The life, the face has changed. The attitude has changed. The person has been perverted. And you are proud of yourself. You are saying that you don't know why. You just there and they come. They can, all of them, they want to sleep with me. Creeping. The girls, you creep. Read the verse 5, the verse before. Having a form of godliness but denying the power. Religious people are like that. And of this type, in verse 6, they lead. Silly women. Religious people. And you are happy with yourself. So I don't know why. I be there and see that they'll be crying. They love me. Like Dragon. Dragon. Are you listening? Yes, I hope you are listening. I hope you are listening. I hope you are listening. Don't be proud of being a devil. Don't be proud of being a thief. All right? Back to Ezekiel. Is that where we were before we came all this way? Eden. Yeah. Settings and mountains. The fact that girls are coming to you, they feel that your settings and mountains are drawing them. The way my chest is, it's like a cow meat. My muscles are like antelopes. You know, one day I was in I think I was in Kenya, and I asked the man who was taking us, do you eat antelopes? Do you eat them? Because they look very nice. He said, we eat, but the meat is not nice. I said, why? He said, because they are running all the time. The muscles are well developed. Well developed. Well developed. So the meat is hard. And you are proud of yourself. So my meat is hard meat. Your settings and your mountains. And your breasts. I shouldn't say the words, you see.
That's what it is.
All those settings and mountains, they are from God, and He should never deceive you that you are something wonderful.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. When I just stand there, and I said, they'll be falling. They'll be calling, oh, Jim, oh, Jim, oh, Jim, oh, Jim. No. Read the next verse. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Who knows about anointing more than the devil? Yes. Who knows about the anointing? He has enjoyed anointing. He knows about the anointing. He knows the effect of the anointing. He knows. And what did he do with the anointing and the gift and the grace that he had? What did he do with it? Your next step forward is not to misuse the anointing that God gives to you. Thou art the anointed cherub. He knows anointing. He recognizes anointed people. That's why he picks out anointed people. As soon as you are anointed, you are a target. Yes. As soon as there's some oil on you, you are a target. He knows them. He was once like that. Yes. He was once like that. He was anointed. He was gifted by God. And he sees human beings with the gift and says, ah, this one. Wow. He hates it. You think you are special, eh? I was once special. And he hated I've been there. You think you are special. I finish you. You become like me. Once anointed, now down. I finish you. He sees oil on people. Yes, he knows what it's like. You know, like those in opposition and those in power. If you've been in power before, they know how it's like. I've been in the presidency before. I've been in the vice presidency before. I've been in the parliament before. I've been in a convoy before. I've been in a pinipini before. I've been in everything before. They see, they say, I know all this. I know what it's like to make announcement on the news. I know what it's like to do that. I've seen it all. They know it. And they look with desire. And the devil, he looks and he sees the anointing. He said, this boy is the anointed. Sheesh. Yeah, you think you are whatever. I'll finish you. I'll twist it. This, you have anointing. You're a young child. I was once fresh and beautiful before God. Anointed. I used to sing. Wow. The next step is to guard yourself being destroyed, because there is a drop of oil on your head. God has targeted to use you. He wants you. He likes you. He's chosen you. He's put something on you. Yes, I'm telling you. That's why you are a target. That's why the devil wants to try with you till you are like nothing, eh? Even when you'll be surprised at how young you are when he tries to spoil you, because you're spoiling when you are young. It affects you later, and it sort of twists your direction. Devil want to make some of you feel that you can't use anointing. Like, think of the number of times you've fallen now. But the number of times you've fallen now is your immunization. Okay. Yes. You know, this corona vaccine, they are giving the corona to people. That corona vaccine is a type of the virus. They give it to you in a small amount to make your body react, so that if the real thing comes, they'll be ready to repel them. Yes. So some of the disasters you have had spiritually, they are to raise up antibodies in you against any such things. Like, hey. And when the enemy comes against you, you say, hey, stop it there. Stop right there. I know this thing. Thou art the anointed cherub. Wow. I heard Benny Hinn say that. Who knows more about the anointing than the devil? Yes, I heard Benny Hinn say that. Devil knows all about anointing. He can see those whom there is anointing. You see, like me, you know, I can sense the presence of God with people and even gifts. And as a calling, there are some people I know they are called. There are some people I know they are called. Even as I'm talking, they are in my head. I always know they are called. When I talk to them, I know this man is called. Because you know it, because you have it. Because you experience it. So you know, you can see. When you know, it's like the politician, they know themselves. I know where you are. I was there before. I'll be coming back soon. I'm coming for that place. I like that place. You are an anointed servant, and the cherub who once knew the anointing is after you, but he will not get you. Amen. Because you are here to hear one step forward, and that step is far away from whatever the devil was. Never, never, never. The pride will not take you down. I have set thee so. You know, when I grew up, it pained me that I couldn't preach in tree. Yeah. I wanted too much to preach in tree. When I hear tree preaching, it sounds so powerful. Not Fanti, not Gan, tree. Ashanti tree, not Ekwapim tree. Ashanti tree. It pained me. I couldn't even understand it at first. I can't understand it now, but I couldn't understand it. I see God had made in my settings. And when I accepted my settings, I flew in my settings. Yes. And you see, there's an international church. Very, very, very international. Yes. Yes. Everywhere you look, as I'm working against foreigners, they are everywhere. Beautiful. Your settings and your mountains. Kata Sota Samandala Bandarabala. May you stay far from the spirit of pride.
Amen.
Yes. May he who has targeted you because he has detected an oil on you, may he be confused from today.
Amen.
Every eye that looks upon you to finish you off goes blind.
Amen.
Goes blind today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You shall not struggle.
Amen.
To step forward.
Amen.
And to keep stepping forward.
Amen.
In God and in his will. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands and thank God for his mighty power. Masato mashataba barandola zamandala taramidole bedesimbo manakata samandala. Thanks, thanks, and thanks a million for all that you have done, dear Lord, for us this day. What a blessing, what a mighty blessing you've given to us. Thank you for a surge season of supernatural encounters. Matakapura banashandala baba. We give you praise, we give you thanks, and we give you glory. Lift your hands, be covered. Every oil that is detected on you by a demon, Marasambo Shaba, we shall not be stolen, you shall not be cut off. You shall survive, you shall prevail, you shall take your step forward. Amaso katala mandari mandala babandala bashandola baba. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the calling. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the next step forward. Thank you for that beautiful oil that you put on us, Lord. Thank you that the devil knows that we are anointed and he doesn't want us to remain anointed. But thank you for your power. Oh God, your grace, your oil, your anointing. So beautiful. We love you, Lord. And we thank you. Jesus, we give ourselves to you. Take our lives. Take our days. Take our moments. We give you thanks. Thank you for victory. Thank you for the next step forward. For everyone that is part of this amazing service today. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. How many realize that Satan has located some oil on you? Or ask somebody, you say he has located an oil. He has seen it. He has seen it. There is a gift. There's a call. It's a gift. He knows it. He knows all about it. He knows all about it. You know, now when I see people that are called, what I see is more like a battle for them. It's not even what they are called to do, but the fight over the person. There's a fight over an anointed person that he will. You see, when God took Israel, he chose Israel, you'll be my servant. And there was a big fight. Yeah, there was a big fight. So, let my people go. No, I'll not let you be. Let my people go. No, okay, they can go. No, let my people. No, 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 no. Everything. There's always a fight over an anointed person. Yeah. It's a big fight. Because a devil is full of jealousy. Where does jealousy come from? Bible says, who can stand before an envious person? It's very difficult to be in the presence of an envious person. And Satan is so envious when he sees her. Because to be anointed is to be selected.
Chosen.
That was the anointed cherub. Walked up and down. Privileges. Special things.
Wow.
When I look at my face carefully. My name is Heward Mills. How many Heward Mills do you know who are pastors? How many? How many have cast like me? Do you know who are pastors? How many?
Wow.
Look at my color. How many do you know? Huh? It's a wild thing to be called, though. It's a wild thing to be chosen. It's a wild thing to be anointed. And the devil knows it very well. And that's why you see that there's now a fight over your existence. How many sometimes feel that fight? There's like a battle about you. You don't even know why. It's because if you are ever to fulfill your calling, it will not be good for the devil. Yeah. You see what I'm doing? I can never do what you are supposed to do. What you are supposed to do, I can never do it. When I preach 1,000 times, I cannot go to Awutu in Tin. What's that school called? Tintin? Winting. I can never be. I've not heard of it before. Somebody has to stand in the midst of the school of Kateko, of St. John's, of Kanata in their midst and save them and fight for them. Not me, because I'm not there. But if the oil on you is able to remain and you are able to come through the fight for your mind, your soul, your heart, and that oil is ever used, what an amazing thing. So beautiful. So beautiful. The anointing is the most beautiful thing you can ever have. It's so beautiful to be anointed. If you take somebody like Benny Hinn, a nobody, the day that I heard him say on the TV, said, "I've never spoken to Catherine Kuhlman before. Never." But when he was like 20 years old, 21, when Catherine Kuhlman died and they had the first service, Catherine Kuhlman Foundation, they called and said, "This small boy, come and stand and preach." He said, "Who am I?" And he started. Yeah, very young. There was something small on an anointed boy from Palestine. There was a time that any country that Benny Hinn would step in, it would be like Jesus Christ himself has come there. Yeah, it's true. There was a time like that in the world. Yeah. He was the most known minister in the whole world. That's the oil, that's the effect of that. That's why he always preached about that oil anointing. One day I met a man from Latin America. He told me, maybe Benny Hinn doesn't know this, he doesn't know this, but for anointing and the presence of God. He said, I've been there. You see it like something's on the stage, like it's a wind. He says something. Small boy, who believes in the anointing, the presence? May you be filled with that anointing. May you walk in that anointing. May you have a voice that rings in the hearts of people. May your voice go into the hearts and the souls of men who are waiting to be saved. May you be empowered to save and to rescue people by the power of God. May that gift which you have been given never be twisted and destroyed by Satan. May the jealousies of Satan over your oil, may the envies of Satan over your oil and over your ointment never succeed. Amen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I pray for you. I pray for you. I pray for you that the jealousies, the jealousies and the envies over your gift and your oil will never be compromised. It will never succeed. The jealousies will not succeed. Thou was the anointed cherub. He knew it. He knew and he knows it. Everyone who is anointed, you are instantly noted, instantly recognized as a target for nonsense, as a target for evil, as a target for distraction. Ah, but it will not work. It will not work. For your gift is preserved today. Your gift is preserved today. Your gift is preserved today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Matafripo samanja mandas balopre tamande baregeste paro salamba doboloti kebele talo manda la manda sapara dalla bada. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Father, we thank you. We thank you again. Thank you again for those that you've called. I see them walking on, fighting on, and not giving up. For they shall run and they shall walk. They shall strive on. They shall prevail. They shall not be weighed down. They shall not be destroyed by the envious devil and the jealous demon of destruction. The thief cometh to kill, to destroy everything. But I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bragasud parazindo shambaza mandara. Yeah, those that are for South America shall be there. Those that are for the Caribbean shall be there. Those that are for Asia shall be there. Those that are for Africa shall be there. Those that are for Europe shall be there. For it shall come to pass, Taramoza Limomba Ramanda, that my sons and my daughters shall rise up. Ah, it shall be difficult in the beginning, but they shall prevail. They shall carry on. They shall rise up with the oil on their heads. And now, even though they are the targets, even though they are the targets, they shall rise up and they shall come, they shall emerge, they shall break forth, they shall bud like Aaron's rod budded, Rasata Panda, they shall bud and they shall bloom, and they shall escape the darkness, they shall escape the soil and come out of the ground and bear fruit, and bear much fruit, Amasopa, for I anointed them, says the Lord, I called them. Amanda, yes, there shall be a challenger. There shall be a challenger. There shall be a challenger. But the anointing shall prevail. And they shall prevail. They shall overcome. They shall overcome. Mahagabaso. Marina. 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 Paruza. Maridebese. Mamba ba 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 ba. Para sabito para masabidole. Berizobade ke porazanda la ba. Paloba, fear not, my little one. Fear not, my little one. For I called you with a strong calling, and I put my drop of oil upon your head. Ah, for you shall be a better person and transform into a different man because of the anointing that I place upon your head, and you shall survive. Ah, walk in the next step. Walk in the next step. Oh, shed all fashions and manners of pride and puff upness. Marasutara, shed it. Adaka tasaba. And clothe yourself with humility. Darama. Desist from high things and high-minded things. And come low. Come low. Come low. Come low. Come low. For I'm with the lowly. I'm with the meek and the lowly. Marasato barana. And my oil shall remain on you, on the top of your head. For as the Lord anointed me on the very top of my head, and I felt it, so the Lord anoints you this day. And as he took me from being an Achimota school student and raised me up to preach to nations, you are raised up this day with a loud voice. You shall speak with a loud voice and go forth with strength and prevail, 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 la macabara, and roar like a lion. For so is my calling upon your life this day. Mashapasa paramada. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, pass your first test and move on to your second test. Pass your second test and move on to your third test. And pass your fourth test and move on to the fifth test. And pass your sixth test. And pass your seventh test. For you shall laugh at the enemy that sought to destroy you through the testings and the fiery tribulations that you went through. Fear not, my little one. Through much tribulation, you must enter the room of your calling. Through much tribulation. Through much tribulation. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you. Thanks and thanks again for all you are doing for everyone that is anointed this day to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise His holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise His holy name. The Lord is good. He reigns forever. He is merciful. Merciful. Praise His holy name. Why don't you bless the Lord?
Bless His holy name.